When I know I'm going to do a Sunday morning, I always ask the Lord, okay, what would you have me do? And this was the topic he gave me. And it's kind of a challenging topic. Now, normally I like to have some anchor verses that I can focus on. And you know, I spent time, there's three passages that talk a lot about demons and spiritual warfare. The Old Testament, where it talks about Satan being thrown down. The New Testament in Matthew, where Jesus is tempted. And then in Ephesians, where it talks about the armor of God. But yet, the Lord didn't want me there. And if you look in Scripture, if you do a search on demons or any of those kind of terms, you find a lot of stuff in that. And so we're going to cover a lot of ground this morning. So I'm going to ask a special favor. If you have a question, hold it until the end. And that if we don't have time, if we have time, we'll cover them as a group. If not, I promise I'll stay and answer any. And that if you have a testimony or something to share that you think, you know, will help enlighten people, feel free in that. But try to keep it short because I do have some time issues. When I was preparing this, I had things together on Friday, but it just felt like it wasn't quite complete. And the Lord, I think he gave me the final piece last night in that 1 Corinthians 2, I believe it's verse 16, it talks about us having the mind of Christ and how important that is. And what does it mean to have the mind of Christ? Well, I think the common sense understanding would be to think the way Christ thinks, right? Well, how does Christ think, right? He thinks, right, in experiencing God, you know, we spend all kinds of time on the verses talking about how, you know, God wants to have a loving relationship with us. And I don't have time to go through all those verses today, but if God wants to have a loving relationship, Jesus' thoughts about you and me are thoughts of love. They're thoughts of grace. Their thoughts of forgiveness, their thoughts of the hopes and plans that he has for all of us. Right. The enemy, his plans are the exact opposite. Right. He wants us to not think highly of ourselves. I think a pastor that I enjoy, he has two comments about this subject that I think are interesting. One is that when we believe the lie, that he doesn't want to have any thoughts about himself that Jesus doesn't have about him. He doesn't want to have any thoughts about himself that Jesus doesn't have about him. In other words, if the thought is running through my mind, and I'll give you an example. I was with somebody just the other day, and he described something to me that he did that frankly was foolish. Right? And he says to me, "I'm a fool." I stopped him. No, you're not a fool. You did something foolish, but you're not a fool. That's not the way the Lord looks at you. Right? And I want to have the thoughts about me that God has about me. Anything else is wrong. Right? I'm not thinking right about myself. It's also true about my thoughts about you. Right? The other thing that he mentioned that I think is true is that when we believe a lie, we empower the liar. Right? Somebody tells me a lie, and I believe him, I've given him power. I've granted him power. And I think that's key to the enemy's attack on all of us. Now, I know this is kind of a crazy subject, right? In that, you know, I know a lot of people say, well, gosh, you know, I don't feel any spiritual battles. I've never been attacked by demons. You know, nothing like I saw in The Exorcist. I haven't been throwing up pea soup. My head hasn't been spinning around. I don't get this, right? Isn't this just a lot of old superstition? You know, and yeah, I get that. And some of you may be thinking that right now. And don't be ashamed. It's understandable, right? I got a text from Pastor Darren yesterday from halfway around the world. I can reach in my pocket to my cell phone and access a website where the host computer can be in Australia. Right, you know, we're modern folks. Isn't this kind of old stuff? Well, I don't think so. I don't think so. If you believe in Scripture, and I hope everybody here does, at least otherwise I wasted time 2 weeks ago, that Jesus knew that we would be under demonic attack, right? His prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, right, protect them from the evil one. Sanctify them by the truth, right? It's fascinating, right? Jesus could have been in the Garden of Gethsemane facing the cross, knowing the next day was the crucifixion. And he could have prayed, Lord, as soon as they believe in me, take them to heaven. Let's have a mini one-by-one rapture, right? He could have done that. And yet, it was the Lord's will that we are here, I think, to do the work that the body is meant to do, the good works that he talks about in Ephesians 2:10. In it. But Jesus knew that we would be tempted. Jesus knew that, right? If you're still not convinced, well, here's what Paul had to say about it, right? Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Paul knew we were going to face demonic forces in our lives. It's just simply true. And the one way to look at it, and this is maybe more of a guy thing in that, but you know, when we accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we basically enlisted in the Lord's army. And that put us into a spiritual war. And it's fascinating too that look at Paul's, the last part of that, taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Sounds like the mind of Christ to me. And that's one of the tools we're going to get into. All right, now, if you still doubt that you're in a spiritual battle, take a look at this list. All right, have you ever had a sin that you couldn't seem to overcome? All right, felt separated from God? All right, thought about hurting yourself? Thought about hurting someone else? Had bad thoughts that you couldn't get out of your head? Been tempted to sin? Anybody that says to me that they haven't been tempted to sin, I don't think I'm going to believe them. Been tempted to avoid the Lord or avoid his people? I imagine there's probably one or two people. Well, I won't say that. Been hurt and doesn't want to forgive the person that hurt you? Felt that the Lord didn't love you or care for you. Right. Those are just some of the things. If those have gone on in your life, you've been in a spiritual battle. You may not have recognized it, but that's what's gone on. Now, my prayer is that this isn't just educational. There's a lot of information that I'm going to share this morning in that, but I really, my prayer is that you take this home and apply it to your life and make a difference in your life. So let's start with some information, right? Who is Satan and what are demons? All right, now Satan, also known as Lucifer, is a fallen angel. All right, in Isaiah it tells us, all right, how you have fallen from heaven, morning star, son of the dawn. You have been cast down to the earth, you who once laid low the nations. You said in your heart, I will ascend to the heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the Mount of Assembly on the utmost heights of Mount Zaphon. Lucifer was an angel, and he wanted to be raised above other angels. And he enlisted other angels to join him, and a third of them, as we're told in Revelation, were cast down from heaven. Now, Lucifer is interesting. The King James uses where this is the NIV, the morning star in King James reads Lucifer, which means morning star. And that, so that's where that comes from. And that. Now, who or what are demons? Right. Well, demons are basically angels that followed Satan. Interesting, in the King James, the word that's translated as demons in the NIV is translated as devils in the King James. Now, so remember that they're fallen angels, fallen rebelling angels. There's a couple things that are important about that. First of all, that means that they are created beings. They are not the creator as God is. They are created beings. Therefore, they do not have godlike qualities. They are not all powerful. They can't do anything they want. They are not all-knowing. They don't know what's going on everywhere. And they are not present everywhere the way the Lord is. Important that we remember that. Now that means that the devil and demons are not as powerful as God. You see, in fact, I was looking at some graphics, and I apologize that I don't have many pictures in the presentation this morning. I saw one of Jesus arm wrestling with the devil. Baloney. No contest. And that the devil and demons are not as powerful as God. They are not his equal. Do not give them that status. Right? They cannot read your thoughts. The Lord knows what's going on in my mind right now. Demons do not. All they can do is observe my behavior and pay attention to and assume they understand what I'm thinking based on my behavior. And they can only be in one place at a time, which is important because it means that under the authority of Jesus, we can move them from the place sitting next to me. Right. Some people look at it and they'll say, Satan is king of this world. That's not what Scripture says, right? John 12, Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven, I have glorified it and will glorify it again. The crowd that was there and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said, this voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. Satan is not the king of this world. Do not give him that credit. We need to remember, right? All authority, this is what Scripture tells us, all authority belongs to Jesus. Right? Matthew 28, Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. This is in the Great Commission. All authority. Not some, but all. Luke tells us when Jesus sent the 72 out. And notice this, not just the 12 disciples. He sent 72 out. So it goes beyond the disciples. They returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. Right? The devil was disarmed at the cross. It's our job to proclaim that. And we proclaim it when we defeat the devil's schemes. Another place that Satan isn't the boss is hell. Right, we've probably all seen pictures of people being thrown into hell and being tormented by the devil. Sorry, that's not what Scripture says. Right? 2 Peter tells us, God did not spare angels when they sinned. He sent them to hell, putting them in chains of darkness to be held for judgment. Satan is a prisoner in hell. He's not the guard or the warden. So what is the job assignment? What is the purpose of the devil and demons? Well, John 10:10 tells us, right, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Their job is to steal, kill, and destroy. All right, that's what they want to do to your life. Don't ever think that a demon wants to do anything good for you. Well, yeah, I mean, we laugh at it. Sometimes when he wants to whisper in our ear and we're tempted by something, we think he's on our side momentarily. We do. Let's be honest with ourselves. Right? Now let's take a look at the passage. And if you don't have a Bible, raise your hand and we'll get one to you quickly. Chris, would you do that for me, please? And turn to Matthew 4. And this is a passage that I think we're all familiar with. Right. Now, it's fascinating to me that immediately before Matthew 4, this part isn't fascinating, is Matthew 3. That's not the fascinating part. The fascinating part is that it's right after Jesus is baptized. And it strikes me that the enemy is very willing to come after us after we make a proclamation for Jesus, mm-hmm. after we declare ourselves. Pastor Darren, we'll tell anyone that we're going to baptize that what you're doing is making a public profession. Okay? Well, that public profession is before your friends, relatives, church friends, non-believers. It's also before demons. They see it too. And we'll learn in a minute that demons like to attack when you're weak. In fact, that's exactly what Satan did with Jesus, right? Jesus was out in the, was led by the Spirit in the wilderness and to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Now, my understanding, and this isn't from firsthand, but this is what I get from reading, is that the body, when you go on a long-term fast, first few days, there's hunger. But after a period, the hunger pains go away, and the body consumes fat cells. But about day 40 for most people, the body begins to actually eat its own organs. And the body starts showing hunger pains again. So Jesus was at his weakest here. This is when the enemy comes to attack. We need to remember that God is not the one who tempts us. Right? James 1 tells us, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil. Nor does he tempt anyone. Each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desires and enticed. Well, who's doing the enticing? Temptation comes when we're weak. 1 Peter, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Two things in that verse strike me. Right? The first one is to be alert and sober mind. I get a kick out of it. Right? Liquor stores, right? What do we call them? Spirits. Oh, I want to drink some spirits. That's a good idea. The second thing is comes like a roaring lion. If you study how a lion hunts, a lion will follow a pack of, I don't know, say gazelles. And he doesn't just jump in the middle of the pack. What he'll do is he'll follow it, hide, watch. And he's looking for the one that's lagging behind. Maybe one that's a little older. Maybe one that's a little sick, a little weak. That's the one that the lion attacks. All right, so the enemy's looking for us in weakness. Now, it can be right after we've taken a fall from 17 feet and we're laying in a hospital bed. It can be because we have financial issues. It can be because somebody just did something nasty to us. It can be because we have sin in our life. The devil, his demons, are looking for times when we're weak. Tempter came to him, Jesus, and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Satan tempts Jesus the same way he tempts us often, with the lust of the flesh, things we think we need. Right? And it may be that I need money. It may mean that I need to feel wanted. I need to feel loved. I need to feel valued. It may be that I need a home. I need some place to live. And those needs, there's nothing necessarily wrong with those needs. And God gave us all, you know, he created us to have a loving relationship with him. That means I have a need to be loved. But I need to find it in the right places. And the demon's going to promise me the wrong places. Right? Jesus demonstrates that scripture is always the basis for our battle against demons. Right? Demons, like any schemer, they don't like light, and they don't like truth. What does Jesus say? "I'm the way, the truth, and the light." So we fight him with truth and light. We shine the light of scripture on demonic lies. Then the devil took him to a holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against this stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Watch what Satan does here. Satan wants to force Jesus to prove that God is God. And he quotes scripture. Don't kid yourself. Satan probably, and demons probably know more scripture than you and I know. But he quotes it out of context. Look at the rest of what that verse says, right? "You will tread on the lion and cobra, you will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, said the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name." Had Jesus gone and done what Satan asked him to do, he would be denying God's name. Right? The devil will use scripture. You have to know the full context. And that. So be careful. When you feel like, okay, I'm tempted by this and I can justify it with the scripture, well, you better go back to the source and look at the context, because you may be taking it out of context and getting the wrong meaning from it. Right? The other thing is that the Lord is all for you and I now, not for Jesus at this time because he hadn't been to the cross yet, but there's nothing more spectacular than the cross. I mean, how much more proof do you and I need? How much more proof does the enemy need? All right? God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. Satan appeals to our lusts. Right? He's a liar. He can't give us anything. Satan will whisper in your ear that if I take this mind-expanding drug, that it'll bring me happiness or bring me peace. It's a lie. He cannot deliver peace. Only the Lord can deliver peace to us. Right? He reveals his true desire. He wants us to worship him. He wants us to follow him to hell. Like Jesus, like the disciples, we too can say, away from me, Satan. And we'll get a little more to that later. The other thing is that when we resist Satan, ministering angels will attend to us. When we fight the battle, we don't fight it alone. We fight it with the Lord, and he will attend to us. Jesus demonstrated that the counter to the devil's deception, and this deception is God's truth. It's not my wisdom. You guys know me, I like to think I'm a smart guy. I don't want to fight the devil or demons with my wisdom. They ain't going to cut it. That's taking a knife to a gunfight. I like to think it's a sharp knife, but that's a different point. It's still taking the wrong weapon to that war. I need to take God's truth. I need to take his word. Remember that Satan's only tools are lies and deception. Those are the only tools he has in his tool belt. And the cross disarmed both of those. Right? Colossians tells us, right? Having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. The devil and demons are a defeated foe. Jesus has already defeated them. We fight not for victory, we fight from victory. Okay, so I've got good news, bad news, and then really, really good news. The good news is that Jesus already defeated Satan. Always keep that in mind. The bad news is that we still have demons after us. The really, really good news is that Jesus gave us the tools to defeat the demons. So let's look at that. This is from James. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. This verse is often quoted when people talk about spiritual warfare. Unfortunately, some people quote it beginning with, resist the devil and he will flee. You need the first part for it to be accurate. Submit yourselves then to God. Right? That's without submitting yourselves to God, it's almost impossible. It is impossible. Let me just say it flatly. It is impossible to resist the devil. And it is true, if you resist him, he will flee, he will leave. In James, he says it twice, come near to God, and he will come near to you. Right? Because when you come near to God, chase the demon or devil away, right? God feels nearer to you. Right? You come closer to the Lord through this event. And that is one good news about being attacked. When you survive an attack, win a spiritual battle, you draw closer to the Lord. I also found it interesting that the word that's translated as double-minded here, right, in the Greek, no, I'm not going to try to pronounce it, you can read it up there, means two-spirited. Double-minded means two-spirited. Good spirit and a bad spirit. Now, the text that many use when they talk about spiritual warfare, and they're right, is the armor of God. And we're not going to go through that full passage. Pastor Darren has a great teaching. It's one of the reasons why I brought up the website. It's on the website, and that it's an audio, and that if you weren't here or if you've forgotten it, it talks about all the weapons that we have in the armor of God. But let's start at the very bottom, right? The last couple lines. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place. Well, what is the belt of truth? Right. Pastor Darren told us, and it's true, that a Roman soldier's belt held everything together. That's where his weapons were attached. Well, what is our weapon of truth? Most of you have it in your lap. Right, the Bible. Now, I know, and I remember years ago, I heard, well, when I get up in the morning, I put on the full armor of God. Wow, that sounds like a good idea. I may have battles this day. I want to have my battle gear on. You know, so in my quiet time, I would belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness. Think about it. The belt of truth has to be part of your life. Am I living truth or not? I can't lie to my wife. I can't lie to my employer. I can't lie to my friends. I can't lie to my pastor and claim to be wearing the belt of truth. You know, the reality is I've unbuckled the belt and my pants are going to fall down. I mean, that's what, you know, let's not kid ourselves. You know, it's a lifestyle. The armor of God needs to be a lifestyle. It needs to be part of who we are every day. Not just Sunday mornings, but tomorrow at work. Tuesday night, you know, when we're in Walmart. You know, Wednesday morning when somebody cuts us off in traffic and, you know, wrinkles our fender. Right? It needs to be a lifestyle. Okay, there's some weapons that we have in spiritual warfare. And there's two crucial concepts that we need to keep in mind. All right, the first one is understanding authority. Okay. Like we talked about a minute ago, Annette, we need to understand that, well, let me go to the right slide. Here's the rules of authority. Well, God has all authority. Right? He has authority over the devil and demons. And that without Christ, a demon may not have authority, but he has the ability to tempt me. And that with Christ, I can leapfrog, in a way of putting it. Okay, basically what I'm trying to say here is that don't go up against a demon in your name. Right? Go in the authority in Jesus. Okay, now by going in the authority of Jesus, right? Then we hopefully everybody knows the story of the seven sons of Sceva, right? They were calling out demons in the name of Jesus. They didn't know Jesus, right? You know, it's not. It's, his name is not a magic incantation, right? When you say, I come against you in the authority and name of Jesus, I'm coming doing what Jesus would do. I'm coming with a belt of truth. I'm coming with the breastplate of righteousness. I'm doing what he would do. Right, Mark 3 tells us in that, He, Jesus, appointed 12 that they might be with him, and he might send them, and he sent them out into the war to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. Luke 10, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing in any means shall hurt you. Now, I know there's some groups that believe they're snake handlers and that, and we're not going to get into that this morning. We don't have time for that. And that, but the word that's translated as serpent here, right, is actually, it can be translated as snake or a type of sly cunning. It's describing a behavior. Right. Well, let's see, who is trying to play sly cunning games with me? Now, the battlefield is in our mind, right? You read before, battle's not against flesh and blood. Battle is a spiritual battle. It's in our minds, right? 2 Corinthians, right? For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. We take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. Sounds a little bit like the mind of Christ, doesn't it? We demolish arguments. Well, who's putting those arguments? Well, not Jesus. Well, it's the enemy. It's interesting. Mind science, and I've studied it as much as a layman can. And our brain, when we feel a need in our brain or a problem, we're trying to solve something. Right? We'll come up with an answer. And it'll create an electric pathway in our brain. And if we find some satisfaction in that answer, right, it releases, I believe they're called endorphins, but it releases a chemical when that helps remember that pathway. So the next time the same problem or a similar problem comes up, the brain doesn't have to look through all the potential answers. It goes, wait, I know this one worked last time. Now, that's fine, except sometimes we try to fill things with the wrong answer. I think just recently I was with a young man, and he started smoking pot when he was about 8, and he's in his 30s now and dealing with drug issues, right? And he's on some kind of medication that has actually become as addictive as the other chemicals. And it was interesting. We went to prayer, and then we were asking the Lord, how did he get to this place? You know, what started all of this? And it turned out that some of the support network that he had, right, was taken away from him. And that so when he had challenges at school, he didn't have that support network, which was positive, was filling his need for somebody to care for him, care about him. And a friend said, well, here, smoke this joint. This will make you feel good. And, well, it did temporarily. And what was fascinating about it, well, no, I'll tell you this for later. Anyway, in that the Lord revealed, once we got to it, the Lord revealed what had happened. So now he's in a position that he understands and he can work on reprogramming his brain. The next time he has a temptation, he knows where it's coming from. It's coming from the enemy. He knows what game the enemy's playing. He understands the tactics, and he can respond appropriately. Turn to other answers for his emotional need, not to the drugs. All right. One of my favorite verses is Romans 12:2, in that, do not conform to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And you may have heard me say this before, but this, when it says renewing of your mind, right, that's not a once and done, right? That's something that happens every day. I think that's one of the reasons why we're told that we need to take up our cross daily. Right? And that the truth is that when we were saved, we were born anew spiritually. But God did not erase our memories. He did not erase our brains. He did not take away emotional hurts. That's part of the renewing of the mind that goes on in our lives. Four important tools in the spiritual battle. The name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the word of God, and prayer. The name of Jesus. Right? As we mentioned a minute ago, it's not just the name of Jesus. It's who Jesus is. The demonic, it hates the name of Jesus. Well, why? Because Jesus defeated them. Jesus is the reason that they're all headed for hell. So naturally they hate the name of Jesus. And they hate it when we imitate Jesus and try to have the mind, or approach the mind of Christ. We become more Christ-like, let me put it that way. But why do they hate the blood, right? Because the blood was the final blow, right? Without the cross, the devil wins. They hate the word of God because it's truth, right? Have you ever met a thief or a liar that liked the truth, right? They like darkness. They don't like truth. And prayer, why do they hate prayer? Because prayer is when we communicate with the Lord. We listen. And the Lord tells us, well, wait a second. Think about what you're hearing. 23rd Psalm. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. All right, he prepares a table for us, even when we're in the midst of a battle. Now, in the back, I ran some copies of something I call the bondage checklist. And you might want to pick one up, especially if you feel trouble. And it goes into some of the things that, frankly, sets you up as a target. Okay? And there's too many things to put on the screen. And like I say, I ran some copies around the table in the back. If there aren't enough, I can print more for next week. Some of the things, you know, seem fairly innocuous, like, well, horoscopes. It's like, oh, no big deal. I just read it for fun in the morning. I really don't care about it. Or, you know, oh, well, I went to a palm reader once. It was just kind of a joke. We really didn't pay attention to it. All right, well, right, what does the Lord say in Deuteronomy? All right, it's pretty profound. Let no one be found among you who sacrifices their son or daughter in the fire, who practices divination or sorcery, interprets omens, engages in witchcraft, or casts spells, or who is a medium or spiritist, or consults the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord. Because of the same detestable practices, the Lord your God will drive out these nations before you. Now, if I'm reading that right, right? I mean, I wouldn't think of putting a kid in the fire, right? And yet I joke about reading my horoscope? I don't know. It seems like the Lord has them in the same thought. That's something to give some serious thought to, right? You know, who wants to do something that's detestable to the Lord? Right, there's other things, you know, on the list. Cult involvement. You know, I admit, you know, back when I was in school, I, you know, practiced transcendental meditation, you know. And, you know, I had to repent of that when I came to know the Lord. You know, a lot of the New Age stuff, you know, people are getting into spiritism and, you know, they think it's cool. Well, got to be careful what spirits you're involved with. You know, the things that we're addicted to, you know, some of the sexual practices, these things, you know, we need to give to the Lord. And the enemy will use these things against us. He will absolutely use these things against us. Demons are liars. I've heard of people that get into a spiritual battle and they start debating with a demon. Right. Well, you know, it's like, you know, what's the old line? You know, don't get in an argument with a drunk. And that, it's like, don't get in a debate with a liar. Right? That's, you know, that's crazy. And we know they're a liar, right? John tells us that. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, is a liar and the father of lies. There's no reason to believe or debate with demons. Demons are schemers. What do schemers do? They try to trick you. Right? And Ephesians tells us, Put on the full armor so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Right? The word schemes in Greek, right, travesty, trickery, lying in wait. Right? You know, what does a bad guy do? He lies in wait, looking for an opportunity to take advantage of you. So often, question comes up, well, can demons possess a believer? The answer is no. Demons cannot possess a believer. And here's why. 1 Corinthians. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you? Right? If the Holy Spirit lives in me, he ain't taking the devil as a roommate. It's that simple. Right? If you're a believer, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. There's no room for a demon. Well, that doesn't mean that a demon can't sit on the bench beside me and whisper in my ear, but he cannot take possession of me. Now, I do think some of the things that you hear about, you know, the horrific things where people, you know, they commit mass murder or just things you look at it and I wouldn't be surprised if those people are non-believers and are possessed. And that I think that's quite possible. But a demon cannot possess and control you. Demons will use signs and wonders. And I like to see God do things that only God can do. I think it's neat when it happens. And that. But it tells us, right, the coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with how Satan works. He will use all manners, all sorts of displays of power through signs and wonders that serve the lie. And all the ways of wickedness, I need more visibility here. And all the ways that the wickedness deceives those who are perishing. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. What is that verse saying? It's saying that the enemy is capable and will use signs and wonders, miraculous things that we cannot understand to trick us, right? Well, how do we know? How do we know, right? They refuse to love the truth. That's how they fell into it. Well, how do we know what's truth, right? Well, one simple way to tell is does a miracle bring glory to God or glory to man? Does it bring glory to God or does it bring glory to man? Right? We're told to test the spirits. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone forth into the world. One way to test the spirit is to see whether it's consistent with Scripture. Yesterday in Experiencing God, we were talking about how do you know when you hear a voice, how do you know it's from the Lord? Well, it's consistent with Scripture. Right? How do you know a voice is from the enemy? It's not consistent with Scripture. How do you know whether it's consistent with Scripture? Well, you either know it from because you've already studied it, or you better look it up. Your first line of defense is the full armor of God. If you're living a Christian life, well, the truth, righteousness, faith, understanding salvation, ready to share the gospel, and wield the sword of the Spirit, you make a difficult target for demons. You use the Lord's authority to cast out demons. When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with the word, and he healed the sick. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will go and do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. Think of one case, one situation where Maria and I were praying with a young lady. She was in her 30s and had a daughter and a marriage that was falling apart. Most of her relationships were in trouble. And we were trying to pray and find what the root cause was for the problem. And it was funny because we would seem to get close to a point where the Lord was going to reveal it, and just couldn't get past it. And I prayed, and the Lord had me ask her, well, what she was seeing in her mind at that time. And she said, well, it's like pitch black. Like there's no light here at all. Oh. Lord led me to command a demon of darkness to leave her in the authority of Jesus. Right. It was interesting. Immediately after that, Lord revealed something that she'd kept hidden from everybody. She'd been raped when she was about 17 in a basement laundry room in her apartment building. And she was still holding unforgiveness against the man that did this to her. And that was the key to healing her relationships and her marriage. Now, let's see. I don't know if it's for this slide. I might have another slide later that covers it. Well, yeah, I do. It's a simple thing to do when you come across a demonic spirit and that. Take the authority of Jesus and command the spirit to leave. Right? If you haven't given that spirit an open doorway, right, he has to obey the authority of Jesus. Sometimes you see on TV, you know, people going through all kinds of craziness and theatrics. And there's no need for that. Right? You're standing on Jesus' authority. The demons know that. Hopefully you know it. You don't need to shout. I had it come up just last week. Similar situation where somebody wasn't hearing from the Lord, and I asked, and yeah, it's darkness. And in a voice no louder than this, no more emphatic than this, commanded that spirit to leave in Jesus' name under his authority, and we got to the solution. We heard from the Lord what the solution to the problem was. Right. You don't need a stern voice. You know, you don't need a reverb unit. You don't need a whole lot of power. You don't even need one of these microphone thingies. Right. Again, they're liars. Don't debate with them. Right. Occasionally, and it's rare, a demon will speak through the person and that, or act up the person. And that. You don't need to get excited. And that just in Jesus' authority, command them to be still, and they will. A demon bothering a person, and that acting up in a person, will not attack you because you're under God's protection. As long as you use the authority of the Lord, they have no way to attack you. One thing to remember is if you do command a demon out, you need to fill that space. Right? We're told that if you leave an empty space, the demons will return. Now, how do you fill that empty space? Well, you fill it with the Word of God. You fill it with the love of God. You fill it with the mind of Christ for that person. Right? Now, what happens if a demon won't go? You command a demon to go and he comes back. Right? Or what happens if, you know, it's a chronic thing. You know, a demon bugs me, you know, every 3 days to go buy some drugs, right, or whatever, right? Well, you go to the Lord in prayer and ask him why. What is it that gives that demon the thought that he has the right to continue to tempt me, right? Now, often it's either because of unconfessed sin in your life or there's forgiveness that you have not extended to someone else. Those are the two most common things. And at that point, you have a choice. You can either confess your sin and repent, forgive the person, or you can continue to contend with the demon. Your choice. The Lord isn't going to make you do either. The Lord will reveal the truth, and you can choose to correct it or not. Now, there's times that you go, okay, I did that, and the demon's still bothering me. Well, sometimes there's more than one unconfessed sin. more than one reason. And so you may need to go back a second or third time. And before you eliminate all those, I call them open doorways, but they're access points for the enemy. Something that's important is there's, you know, just like there's some people that deny that there is a spirit world that we live in, right, that demons exist. There's some people that look for a demon under every rock. You know, I managed to catch a cold earlier this week. Well, I don't believe a demon put a cold on me. Now, he did whisper in my ear, "Why, gee, you got a whole lot of things to do and you're doing the teaching Sunday morning. The Lord doesn't love you." And it's like, no. He can try to tempt me. He didn't give me the cold, right? Philippians tells, I'm sorry? Yeah, my wife did. Yeah, she. We have it on record. She admits it. Right? Philippians tells us, right? And I love this verse. Right? In fact, I've often said this is God's prescription for a lot of illness. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Have the mind of Christ. Okay. Questions. I ask everybody to hold it. Who can do microphone duties for us? I guess I'm going to do it. Hands again. I saw some hands, but who? Where? Stan. Okay, Stan. Good. Thank you, Stan. I don't know. Raise your hand. Jerry back there. Okay.
And in the very beginning, you said the demons and the devil don't know what's going on in here.
Mm-hmm. That's true. He's just trying to turn the mic on, Jerry.
And my question is, do they hear our conversations with God when we pray out loud? And do they hear our conversations with one another?
They hear audible conversations. If I pray silently, they do not.
Okay. So why wouldn't a lot of us pray silently more so they don't know what's going on in our lives?
I don't have an answer to that, Jerry. Okay. Well, Rebecca. Oh, No, that's not. That doesn't answer her. You know, Jerry says, why don't we pray to the Lord silently? Because he knows what's going on. And that, I suppose it makes sense in that, but when we speak to the enemy, we need to speak it out.
Oh yeah, I understand that.
Okay.
Definitely.
Okay, wait. Give the microphone to Rebecca. Yeah, here comes the challenge.
I think I agree with you for speaking maybe about people's weaknesses and things. That maybe is pretty smart, but. Also, the devil and his demons don't like to hear us even reaching out to God.
Okay.
That makes them uncomfortable.
Yeah, no, that's true. Yeah, we mentioned that a little bit earlier, yes. Yeah.
Well, I wasn't here for that.
Okay. Jen, I think Jen has something.
I don't have a question, but I do have a statement.
Okay.
You mentioned that a believer cannot be possessed.
Mm-hmm.
I agree that that's true, but I... that statement, without further explanation, can also do a lot of harm.
Okay, share because I certainly
right,
didn't
so
mean
harm. Here, for me, mm-hmm. I was saved,
mm-hmm.
But there were definitely demons around me,
mm-hmm.
and they were so close that it felt physical. Wasn't
okay.
physical.
Mm-hmm.
Looking back on it, I can see
yes.
that, but it felt almost mm-hmm. physical, and because of that, they. Try to put the thought in my mind that I'm not saved. and then mm-hmm. trying to yes. buy that lie sure. because a believer can't be possessed mm-hmm. and feeling it that physical, they're trying to get me to buy into that and mm-hmm. forget that
they're
trying to get
saved. You to deny.
So I want to let people know that it can still feel almost okay. physical yes. and not be a possession.
I wouldn't argue that. That's consistent with their method of lying mm-hmm. and trying to get us to believe the lie and deny God and His love for us, the mind of Christ, and that. But in the moment, could it feel like that? Yeah, it could feel like that. But that's exactly when you run to the Lord and grab His ankles. And that, yeah, Nancy.
Hello, everyone. It's my first time here at the church, and I just want to say thank you.
Thanks for being here.
I'm right where I'm supposed to be. I've been pursuing God, and come to find out God has pursued me for quite some time. I really love the fact that I just came through quite a battle of spiritual warfare. Based on my past experiences, I found myself, you go 150 miles into the woods, and just because I made a decision to turn my life and give my life over to Christ, I still got 150 miles to get out of the woods, and I'm heading in the right direction. So I like how you said about that groove in your mind, mm-hmm. Because I found myself in a very familiar place, and I was aware of it, but I took up that full armor of God, and through the weeping and the tears mm-hmm. and the, I was like, woo, this is harder than I thought, yeah. but I'm here, yeah. Yeah. And it was mind-blowing to me because this is a section in my life that I remember when I was little, and here it was full circle back into my life, and I was like, what is this, Lord? What is this? Mm-hmm. So I just want to say thank you for your confirmation and your word and your truth today, because I took lots of notes. Thank you, Jen, for inviting me.
And my apologies for being distracted. The phone was going off, and I looked in my pocket. It's not mine. Somebody left a pad up here, and it was going. I didn't realize what it was, and that. So that was the distraction. Forgive me. And that. One at a time.
Yesterday, I had two clients, two patients to take care of.
Hold the mic up.
Baby. The morning was good. Mm-hmm. The afternoon one freaked me out. I mean, you talking about grabbing God's ankles? I was grabbing His whole body mm-hmm. in this house.
He'll hug you back.
I walked in to this house. And there's nothing but demon pictures and devils and all this. It was black walls. Mm-hmm. And I looked at him. I said, do you go to church? And he goes, no. He said, I'm a devil worshiper. And I immediately called my office, and I said, do I have to be here? And she said, yes. If you have to wait outside until he calls you to come help him, then you go back in. I sat outside all afternoon. I did not go back in that house.
Okay, well, I understand, and that's you don't we whenever possible we don't want to be near, in that. But you are protected. You are protected, in that, right? No one and no thing can pull you from the palm of God's hand, in that. So you're protected there, in that. You need to use Jesus' authority, in that. If this guy try something crazy, and yeah, trying to get it off of that assignment would probably be a good idea, in that. But you are safe as long as you stay under the authority of Jesus.
Oh, I started praying. That's a good move. The first thing that came out of my mouth was like, Lord, let this shield go fast.
Okay, good move. Let's do two more since it's noon, and then we'll call
Hello.
It a day.
Am I on?
Okay, Nicole.
I just want to comment on the praying in our minds so Satan doesn't hear us. I admit that has crossed my mind over the years as well, right? If I keep this in, he won't hear me. But I think that the premise there then is wrong. Then we're in a defensive stance,
okay.
right?
Good point.
Let me hide from Satan. Let me not... say my prayer out loud, he might be on to me, and he's the strong one. No, because prayer is warfare, right? Mm. We are called to prayer, to be prayer warriors, right? And our God inhabits our praise. And we speak the way he spoke the world into being, and we are created in his image, and we speak things out into the atmosphere as well. So I say, no, we pray out loud. We praise his name, and we are not in fear, right? We are entering because our God has already fought this battle and won, right? Well, we have to step into that.
Okay, well, yeah, no, well said, Nicole. And I certainly didn't mean to imply that, you know, we would hide from praising God publicly and that, but yeah. Peggy.
I would just like to say this. Because of the teaching that many times Christians get, or the lack thereof of teaching, we do have a misunderstanding of what possession is. And I've seen people set free and Christians set free when they come to the realization that they cannot be possessed by a demon. And that's very important to know. But we look at what the scripture says in Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all those that were oppressed of the devil. And there is where the difference lies. Oppression can take place with us as Christians. When the woman came with the issue of blood, she was a child of Abraham. She was oppressed, but not possessed. Also, we as Christians can be attacked. Obsession deals with the mind, and that's why, therefore, we have to have a renewed mind. But we can be excited as believers that it is the Holy Spirit in us. And you're right, Gary. There is no way he's going to share with another roommate that's evil.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Peggy. Okay, we got two more, and then
we definitely have to guard our minds.
Just one more. Okay,
we have to be mindful of what we think, and we definitely have to guard our minds.
To take off on what Peggy was saying, oppression is external, and the other is internal. He will not allow someone else to share his temple. But oppression is like a vice. It will crush you if you let it. So remember, possession is internal and the other is external. So keep it out there where it belongs, okay? And Gary started out in John 17. And he was praying for his disciples, where Gary was talking in 15 through 17. But if we go to verse 20 and 21, this is the most encouraging verses that you could ever read. When Jesus says and asks of the Father, he says, I do not ask in behalf of these alone, his disciples, but for those also who will believe in me through their word. That's us. Jesus Christ is praying for us in John 17, 20. And the benefit is 21, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I am in you, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that you did send me. Because of that power, because of Jesus' prayer for us, our testimony that we live every day, the world will believe, either positive or negative. We will be his witnesses. It doesn't say we'll be good witnesses or bad witnesses. We will be witnesses. So we are the ones that choose to live that life, displaying the fruit through the power of God or not.
Okay, let's close in prayer. If anybody has any other questions, feel free to grab me afterwards. Father God, Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you have overcome the devil, Lord. that you have purchased our freedom, that you have reconciled us to our Lord. Father, we thank you too that you give us the tools to fight the spiritual battles that that we face every day. Lord, I ask that you'd help us to recognize those battles for what they are. Don't let the enemy sneak up when we're not expecting it, Lord. And then help us to recognize and use the tools that you've given us. We thank you for all of this in the name of our blessed Savior, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thanks, everybody. Have a great week. Pray for Pastor D and his family as they come back. And we'll see you next week.